Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my favorite thing. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking a whole variety of things. And I want to say to you, there are just one. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some people.
Welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey. Success is yours. Dare to dream and keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. Today's show, we're going to deal with relationships one-on-one. We're going to explore the one-on-one relationships and how the negative effect it has on participants involved. This show is geared to examine ways one can use to avoid negative impacts and to improve on positive influences in one-on-one solutions or situations. Now, I got to remind you, if you've just tuned in for the first time, and if you're a regular viewer on our show, put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. You can check out my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, and that is @CMrMotivator. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR. And if you want to email me with questions, you can email me at cthemotivator@yahoo.com. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR@yahoo.com. And if you're away from the computer and it's difficult for you to check out the show, you can listen to us live. And the number to listen to my show live is area code 323-580-5712. We're going to go ahead and begin today's broadcast. And if you would like to get out a notepad and a pen or some paper, feel free to do so, because, folks, we value information. That's the purpose of Mr. Motivator Show. We want to enlighten you. We want to inspire you. We want to help you any way we can. And therefore, if it's vital information, don't let it get away from you. Go ahead and capture that information. Are you in a relationship right now? Do you feel that you're moving towards a relationship? Folks, there are many different kinds of relationships, because relationships are very, very broad. But we want to look at the one-on-one relationship. If you're married, what type of one-on-one relationship do you have with your spouse? And if you're married, we have other friends or family members. What type of one-on-one relationship do you have with each individual? And do you have relationships that are hindering you, that are causing you to be unsuccessful? Do you have relationships with people that are getting in your way? Now, folks, we are so honored to have a special guest with us today. My staff discussed who would be great for this particular broadcast today, and we all came up to the same agreement. We decided to bring on a relationship specialist, a life coach, someone who has dealt with a lot of situations, a lot of people, we decided to bring a guest on our show who can really reach out and help people. And she, in fact, she's been doing it all her life, and that's her background. But, folks, I'm not going to keep you waiting any longer. We're going to bring out our guest, the one and only, the lovely, the beautiful, the most intelligent lady around. She's also a talk show host of a successful talk show called Let's Talk Truth. She's an author. She's a poet. There's so many different wonderful things that this lady does, and she also inspires a lot of youth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a hand, a round of applause for our dynamic guest, the beautiful Miss Lois Bullock. Hello, Lois. Welcome to the show today.
Well, you know, thank you.
And I want to thank you for making me a regular guest on Let's Talk Truth. I love going out to your studio, and you always have some interesting people there. And the young people that come out, even though they have the baggy jeans and everything, you don't let them leave from there without getting some truth.
That's
so,
right.
But again, thank you for that. And also, I want to thank you for just being a friend and a mentor over the years. And thank you for just being an encouragement to me and my family. And I want to thank you for all of the people that I know you've reached out to and help them in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Well, go ahead, Loretta. I am so very honored to be here on this early, early, early Saturday morning. But it is always an honor to stop by your studio and to share your show.
Yes.
And I appreciate you and just honor you for being a regular guest on my show, because I know that there's a lot of things you could be doing, but you never fail to stop by to encourage me. So I thank you so much for that. And I'm really honored that this show kind of hits a soft spot for me, talking about one-on-one relationships.
Okay.
So, you know, all in all, I'm just grateful. And anytime I can be on your show or help you out in any way, I would just love to, because you're an awesome person. You know, and it's good to have older people that I can look up to. And I really look up to you, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But the comment about older, we're going to have to strike that. I knew you were going to try to hit me some kind of way. Okay, now I know you're very successful businesswoman. You have a businesses, and you have your show. And I know getting to the top wasn't easy. Now, and I know that you have a lot of friends, but what about the people who come into our life and they become a friend, and we got that one-on-one relationship, and all of a sudden we find out they've set traps or they've done things to hinder us? Now, you can start in wherever you want, but what for the people that are checking out our show today, and they're in a situation right now, what can we do to help those that are listening to our show or checking out our show today? What can we do to help them identify
first, a false friend? First of all, we have to think about something in the very beginning.
Yes.
There's a process to attachment.
Yes.
Friends are attachments. Whether you're being connected with a mate, that's an attachment.
Yes.
So there are reasons why people attach themselves to you.
Yes.
And I firmly believe that no one crosses your path except it's divinely ordered.
Yes.
So they're either there for you to do something for them, or you have to, you know, they have to do something for you. But a lot of times people attach themselves for other reasons.
Okay.
You have a set of people that will attach themselves to you to just drain you of everything that you have. And so we have to be cognizant of those people. Mm-hmm. You have to really be have wisdom enough to weed those people out.
Okay.
And you have to see, you know, we all are gifted in some capacity.
Yes.
That you can actually see a motive before that motive attacks you.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why people attach themselves to you, you really need to search that out before you become comfortable with it. Because there are some people who don't think much of themselves. And the only way they can feel good about themselves, they have to attach themselves to someone that they can either tear down or draw from.
Wow. Well, you mentioned a word just then that grabbed my attention. You mentioned the word fool. I'd like to hone in on that word fool, and so that we can understand a little bit better what a fool is and how we can get attached to fools, or let fools attach themselves to us. So, well, what do you want to add to that about that word fool?
Well, let me say this. We're talking about this first quote here. It says, a fool is anyone who does not take the danger of sin seriously.
Mm.
That is a dangerous person to be around. When you get to the point where, and I hear it often among people, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't care. So that means you don't care what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also basing your life on that this is it. You know, your today is it.
Yes.
You never think about that there are consequences.
Wow.
And repercussions for the things that you do.
I get you.
And some people are just satisfied with living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be considered a fool if you believe that your actions
mm-hmm.
will not cause a reaction on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be aware that we do have people out there. They don't care if something is sinful.
Mm.
It makes them feel good for that moment, and that's the moment they want to, that's all they can think about. They don't think that there's future.
Yes.
So that person is an idiot, you know, same
wow.
fool.
I got you. So in other words, when I like what you said, when we get some people sending out those kind of messages, that's a red flag.
Yes.
A red flag should go up,
mm-hmm.
somebody living on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's telling you, hey, I'm doing something very dangerous. Hey, I'm sleeping all over the place. I don't worry about using contraceptive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in some dangerous, bad dealings, and I'm taking a chance on my life and the folks
that's
around.
That's right.
That, so when you get a red flag like that, so you're saying we should immediately put that person in check and maybe start kind of easing away from them.
You ease away from them if you don't think you can influence.
Okay, I got you.
Normally, like I said, I think that we, I believe that no one comes in our path except they're divinely sent.
Yes.
So we have what it takes to influence that person.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes a fool so dangerous that doesn't see danger of sin seriously is that we take them too lightly. And mm-hmm. we don't influence them to become differently.
Mm-hmm.
We jump in and become like them.
Oh.
You know, and so that's the danger of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are aware of what we're faced with, we shouldn't run from it because it was put in our path to influence them in some way. So a lot of times we are being influenced rather than being the influencer. Okay.
Oh, good question. Now, another thing I'd like to ask, when you have a person that comes in your life,
mm-hmm.
and they seem like you may have there's a possibility of chemistry trying to connect,
mm-hmm.
but you notice that person always talks about themselves, and whenever they call you, you're on the phone for 30 minutes to an hour or more, and they're talking about themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then they call you frequent, and it's about them. And they may ask you one quick question, and then before you can answer it, they cut you off,
mm-hmm.
and they start back on themselves. How do you feel about a person like that?
Well, I've encountered people with that personality, And those are actually people who don't really feel good about themselves, or they want to be important. And they really don't care about how they make you feel. And as I said, as I believe, we need to start to influence anything that's negative like that. You have to give them a positive way of influence.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes we need to just stop and say, look, brother, or every time you call me, we only talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance we can talk about something else? Because your life has not been all of that you have that much to talk about. You know, and they're just probably going over the same ground over and over and ever and over again. So these are the things that we just have to be sharp enough. Someone has to be the sharp knife in the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to be influenced by a lot of different people,
yeah,
or a lot of different people come across, then we just have to understand, start influencing those people. Don't let a person just sit up and you're not that important that you can talk about, I want to hear about you every minute.
Uh-huh.
We find people like that, and I've come across people like that because everybody loves their children. Everybody loves their grandchildren.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little grandbaby that I think is just awesome.
Right.
And if I start telling you some of the things she did, but before I can get it out good, what she did, you're telling me 50 different things that your grandchild has done. You know how we fail to let everybody express themselves.
Got you.
So I just kind of back off and don't say anything anymore because we're just flooded with things that little Bobby does.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't get what Katrina has done. You can't. Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
Because people love to build themselves up.
Yes.
They love to build themselves up. And there's a song that I love by Tracy Chapman. And I don't know if any of you know who she is, but if you don't, Google her. She has a song that says, there's fiction in the space between.
Mm-hmm.
So when you and I are talking, I have to make myself be more important. So I'm going to embellish a little bit. I'm going to add something that's not quite true to my story to make it relevant, to make it important. So that song, I really like that song because that's what we do. That's what we encounter day in, day out, fiction in the space between.
Yes.
So in the midst of my telling you about myself, I'm going to also add something to that that's not really true, but it's going to really make me look better.
Got you.
So this is what people do in relationships that just overwhelm you with themselves.
Wow.
You know, they have to make themselves feel important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's a good point because some people just go to the extreme. And we have another guest in our show. You have your friend. The awesome, the one and only Lady of Wisdom, Miss Louise. Miss Louise, would you care to add a comment about these one-on-one relationships, what we should watch out for?
Yes, I would. Also, I would like to say, in relation to that, that you have to ask yourself, these friends, each friend you come in contact with, they're there for a season and a purpose. Some friends going to be there for a short time, and some friends going to be there for a long term, and some are there for a lifetime. So each of these friends that come into your life, they're there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that purpose has been fulfilled, some of them are destined to move on, same as you're destined to move on as well.
Okay.
So therefore, when you... Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a purpose, whether you have a purpose for them or they have a purpose for you. But at any point in time, just like, you know, people, they have a certain time to be here in this world. You know, everybody has a certain thing that they have to do. And once that's been fulfilled, they move on. So everybody has to move on. So you may have some friends that this is their full life, their full lifetime, and there's some that's their full a purpose. And so that thing is, you should make sure that that purpose has been fulfilled. You know, mainly try to get the good out of both. Each person should get the good from each other.
Well, thank you, Louise. I think that's a beautiful point. We should look at our purpose in this. Look at your purpose in the relationship with you that you have with this individual, and then look at their purpose. And for you that are single, ladies and men, and especially you ladies that enter into abusive relationships, it may be that his purpose is to give you hell and to make your life a miserable life and to destroy everything he can in your life. If you feel that that is this person's purpose, you should realize that is not the relationship that is there. That's not a lifetime relationship, and that's a dangerous relationship. And the same way with men that are listening. If you're in a relationship and you notice that her purpose is to glorify herself and for her to focus on what she can get for herself only and to destroy you or knock you down in order so that she can feel good about herself, that is not a permanent relationship. That could be a dangerous relationship for you. You should work right now at defining that relationship and move, do whatever is possible to move away from that relationship if you think it's going to affect you. Ms. Lawrence, would you like to add a comment?
Yes, I would. And it's in relation to what Louise said a minute ago.
Yes.
That's a beautiful point.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was my friend. We started out working together. We started doing some things, you know, like going to different gospel movements and things like that.
Yeah.
And one day, she just dropped out of sight.
Okay.
I thought that that was cruel,
mm-hmm,
for her to do that.
Yes.
She sent, just to show you how insignificant we all were, she sent a blanket text to every phone. And in that blanket text, she said, she gave that analogy about the seasonal friendship. She said, you know, some people are there for a moment, some for a season, some for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, I was offended by that. That offended me because,
uh-huh,
I think people use that,
mm-hmm,
that analogy to cover up for their little whatever it is that they're doing. Their ability not to care, their inability to care,
yes,
about people.
Yes.
So even though you may have been sent for a purpose, even though you are there for a season, you make a lifetime impact.
Oh, thank you.
So that's what we have to understand when we either attach ourselves to people or allow people to attach themselves to us. There are people that I have not seen since grade school, but they made a lifetime impact. You know why? I remember them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember certain situations that went on with them. So we have to, when you're having a one-on-one relationship, I don't care if it's for 5 minutes, you've made a lifetime impact on that person.
Mm.
So
wow,
we have to kind of be aware of how we loosely detach ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm, like
you
that
can hurt a person the, yes, way you detach yourself.
Yes.
And you can blame it on that seasonal thing,
yes,
when you don't want to step up to the plate.
Yes.
And she just dropped out of sight. So I sent her a text and I said, I don't need to know why you're gone. I just need to know that you're okay. And, you know, because I think we owe everybody that.
We do.
If we're put in their life for 5 minutes, you need to let a person know I'm exiting, and but I'm okay.
Did you ever hear from that person?
I hear from her, but now I don't trust her.
Yes.
So I just speak to her and go on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that everything you got to do is, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're very selfish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you come in with that seasonal mess.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up because I believe that a lot of people celebrate bridge burning parties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think if you have a relationship, whether good or bad, there is a way to depart with that relationship.
Exactly.
And a lot of people often have bridge burning parties. They know that they're in your life for a season. I don't think I'm going to run into them a good, so I'm just going to cut them loose. I'm not going to call them. I'm going to just, even though they've been sending me letters, asking me how I'm doing, they've been texting me,
I'm going to
disappear because I don't need them anymore.
That's cowardly.
And I'm going to move.
Yes.
Okay. And the sad part about it is when they've burnt that bridge, and on down the road, it could be 5, it could be 15, 30 years on down the road, and guess what? You cross paths with that same person again.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship won't be the same.
Will never be.
It will never be the same because you took a match and burned the bridge.
Yes.
You did them coldly.
Mm-hmm.
You decided you wouldn't ask another phone call. You decided you wouldn't talk to them because, well, I only needed them. They was in my life for a season, and now I'm just, and I think I've often heard ministers tell the congregation, God is moving your way into a new season. Drop them friends and move to your new destiny of your purpose and to your prosperity. Look, no matter where you move, my father-in-law would always tell me, he said, son, watch when you're walking up that ladder. Watch who you step on. Watch who you kick in the face. Because on your way back down that ladder, you may have to meet the very person that you stepped on. And will they want to put a blanket or a pillow out there when you're headed down with to try to brace your fall? That's why I deem that to be important. Does anyone else want to add another comment to that? Louise,
well,
do you have a
question? I firmly believe that ministers are so out of line when they tell you to drop your friends and move on.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you why I believe they're out of line. Because they're taking God's place.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you'll notice, in the scripture, they talk about the wheat and the tares growing together.
Yes.
And God said, leave it alone.
Yes.
Let that grass grow up in that wheat, because if you try to divide it, you're going to kill some wheat in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same way I believe when I take it upon myself to try and reposition myself.
Yes.
And lose my friend.
Mm-hmm.
See, am I going to throw away someone that God intend to be there side by side with me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, we get to the point where we move from allowing the Holy Spirit to dictate our movement, and we start dictating it ourselves, and we start to mess up. That's how you mess up.
I think you're right. And I think especially for people that are users, if
mm-hmm.
you are have the habit of using people, and you're the kind of person, once I'm going to be nice, but once I get what I want from them, and I become the manager or the supervisor, I'm going to treat everybody like they're animals. I'm going to spit in everybody's face. And I think that's a bad attitude to have. Hey, I'm here for a season, so once I get to my next spot, I'm going to slam the door. I'm not going to answer any phone calls.
You know, I had a very wise woman once to tell me, and it was in, we were in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And I know people say this all over the United States. I've heard it. If someone doesn't flow in your waters, feed them with a long-handled spoon.
Yes.
How many times have you heard that old adage? I'm going to feed them with a long-handled spoon.
Yes, I've heard that many times.
Listen, I had an old wise woman to tell me when I was very young. She said, baby, if you feed people with a long-handled spoon,
mm-hmm.
how will you ever get close enough to them for your light to shine on them so that they can change?
Yes.
And I've thought about that. And, you know, wisdom is what's going to take us through, take us on to glory. And I've thought about that. People, as we just said, we were talking about people being put in your path for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God put somebody, an undesirable person, in my path if he didn't feel like he had equipped me to handle that?
Wow.
So these are the things that we have to understand. But we allow our flesh to decide and to generate it, to pick what we're supposed to do and when we're supposed to do it. And I think that is so wrong. That is so wrong. We throw people away, and they're just laying out there on the side of the road in that same clumpy mess they were in when they were sent to you.
I agree with you 100%. You know, I think it also carries even on in our business affairs and as we work, operate businesses, or we build relationships. I know you've been you're a talk show host and you have other friends. But it brings me back to a friend I once worked with years ago when I was working in the insurance and mortgage industry. One of my friends that I work with, we go out and he meet people and they like him, you know, because people buy from you when they like you and they feel that you have something
it's
to
trust.
Offer them. Mm-hmm. It's trust. And they would buy from him and spend big money. And then once he bought from him, hey, I'm through with them. They're calling, hey, I got the sale. I don't need them no more. So that particular friend, he just cut everybody loose after he made those big sales.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you introduced me to a man who, when I worked at the mortgage industry, and this man became a trainer. His name was Herbert Wright. Mm-hmm. And I went out with Herbert, and Herbert trained me, and Herbert had thousands and thousands of friends. And I'm like, how did you get all of these friends? Because when I sell or market something, he said, I become interested in the people that I market to. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't just leave them with something. I call to see how they're doing. Are they enjoying it? How's the family doing? And he said, those people invited me to come back, and they let me meet all of their relatives. He mm-hmm. said, I became friends with families.
You know,
and that man taught me how to be successful.
You know, I've known Mr. Wright since we were fourth grade. I was like fourth grade.
Yes.
You know, just a couple of years ago.
Yes.
But anyway, he has always been a dynamic salesman.
Okay.
And if truth be told, every car dealership in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, he has made them millions of dollars.
Wow.
Because he's a salesman.
Yes.
He's an anointed salesman.
Yes.
Now, even when you met him, he was in the mortgage industry.
Yes.
But at that time,
yes,
he still had customers that he had sold our first car to back in the early 70s that called him to this day to find them cars.
Wow.
Because it's that trust.
Yes.
You have to meet people and allow them to trust you in whatever you're doing. You have to be trusted to be a friend.
Yes.
If you you have to trust your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell women all the time, if you don't trust that man to leave the house,
yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing with him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because you should feel, every female should feel confident that if my spouse is away, is from my presence,
yes,
I'm trusting that everything he's doing is for my benefit.
Wow. I like that.
And that's how the man needs to trust the female.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And that comes with how you relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have trust.
Yes.
So if it's trust, and you have to trust your teachers.
Yes.
You have to trust, if you go into a classroom setting, Mr. Motivator, you're an educator.
Yes.
You go into a classroom setting, and you have a teacher that you have no confidence in that what they're telling you is the right thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Education, whether it's in grade school, college, whatever, you want to make sure your educator is someone you trust.
Yes.
And the way you do that is you earn that trust by putting everything out there that's solid.
Yes.
That has wisdom attached to it.
Yes.
That you can't poke holes into.
Yes.
And that's how you do that. But now, our youth, and when I say our youth in leadership positions, you can't trust them.
Yes.
Do you know now, Mr. Motivator, when I go to the grocery store, if I stop and ask someone in that capacity, where is your, what aisle is your aluminum foil on? Do you know I really don't trust them to tell me the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people will just tell you anything.
That's true.
And that's horrible.
Yes, it is. They'll let you walk all
that's
over the
That's horrible.
Yes.
So that's a negative effect
mm-hmm.
of a one-on-one relationship.
Got you.
You know, my relationship with you is I'm a customer, you are a worker, you should know your store, you should know your product. And if you don't know, we don't know how to say, I don't know, but if you'll hold on a moment, let me find someone who can help you. We feel like that diminishes us in some way. And so we're just really, it's really something wrong with us. You were asking me a minute ago about the food thing. And these,
you have another quote, but
yes,
please.
Let me tell you.
I love these quotes.
I've never met this man personally. And I don't know how he is, but as a person, but I do know that the things that he says is wisdom in it. And that these quotes come from Dr. Mike Murdoch.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mike Murdoch. That's where you get these quotes from.
Yes. And he says, listen, a fool is anyone whose conduct does not change, even after experiencing painful consequences from it.
Yeah.
You know that has to be a fool. If you, if whatever you're doing causes you pain and you still won't change, how horrible is that?
You're right.
I mean, you're an idiot.
Yes.
It's no joy for me to call you my friend if you're a fool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know. And another one here that says, a fool is anyone who considers any pursuit of wisdom to be a wasted effort.
Mm. Yeah.
How many times have you have friends, but you try to give them the wisdom side of something,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to hear that? But you have to realize nothing is going to be solid, nothing is going to be manifest properly if wisdom is not attached to it.
Uh-huh.
Wisdom is our best friend.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And if we don't have it in any given situation,
then
we can't see the good that's coming out of it. You know, we don't know, we'll fight everything.
Yes, ma'am.
But you have to understand wisdom is what you need.
Yes.
You have to have wisdom when you're talking to your children.
Yes, you do.
You know, Mr. Motivator, I know you have two beautiful little girls.
Yes.
And different personalities.
Absolutely. Yes, they do.
One thing you do for this one is not going to work on the other one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you have to use wisdom. You have to know, you know, what to do for this one and what to do for the other one and make them both feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have wisdom, I don't know how we can connect ourselves to anybody.
You're right. Speaking of girls, I want to give a shout-out to my wife. I have a beautiful wife who's always been supportive of me and been in my corner. And I contribute a lot of my success, or me having success, due to her, because if it wasn't for her being positive and supportive, I wouldn't be as successful as I am. And I would like to give a shout-out to my girls. They're in Santa Fe, New Mexico today, and they're tuning in to the broadcast. And so Ginger and Angelina, hey, your dad loves you, and I can't wait for you guys to get back to Dallas. So remember, Daddy is expecting you to have fun, but get back home on time.
All right. See there? He's reaching way out there, and it's good that you acknowledge your wife, too.
Yes.
A lot of successful men, they just throw their wives in there as an afterthought.
Yes.
But you have to realize a wife has to put up with you.
That's right.
I mean, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, and sometimes when you men are cocked out of sleep, that woman is still up working,
mm-hmm.
making things wonderful and positive for you. So it's good to acknowledge your wife. That's another thing in a one-on-one relationship. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge your wife. Give her kudos. You know, let her know that she's appreciated.
Okay.
And so that's a message that we have to give all of our men.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes with our men as well.
Yes.
Women, start talking good things about your mate, your spouse. If you're going to be with him, he should be the one that hung the moon for you. You know, there should not be another man. Well, it just depends on how many muscles he's got and how much. No, I'm decent.
But now you mentioned another good point. I think, you know, in the marketplace, you know, now women haven't always had equal opportunities, and women have been denied the opportunity to be able to advance. Nowadays, women are getting the opportunity to advance, and they're being moved to leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be successful, you're a manager, or you're in executive leadership position. It is important that you have a good one-on-one working relationship with your staff, the folks that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you'd like to say to some of the women who are in these positions that they have a chance to grow the company and be very successful? And I think some of them feel that they have to take control, and they have to remind everybody around them, hey, it's a chain of command, and I'm the one that's running. Is there something you'd like to say?
Yes, I would, because I'm a female.
Yes.
I don't, you know, I know you've noticed this very soft voice that I have coming in, you know.
Yes.
But I'm a female.
Yeah, okay.
And what I really want to pass on to females,
mm-hmm.
just because you're in a leadership position,
yes,
you still need to be soft,
okay,
and loving,
yes,
and caring,
okay.
You can lead. No man wants to lay down with a big burly man,
right?
You know,
yes.
Well, I don't guess, but shouldn't be anyway. But I'm just saying this.
Uh-huh.
We have females that have, they're so knowledgeable.
Yes.
And they've had doors open, and they have great opportunities to get out there. But they a lot of us get into the leadership position as drill sergeants.
Okay, yeah.
That is so horrible.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I firmly believe that a police officer, doesn't matter if you can toss a piece of paper on the ground. A police officer is going to treat you just like he does a killer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wrong. That's out of line.
Okay.
But, and the same way it is for females. Female, you are a powerful, powerful woman.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with you being in a leadership position, because I believe a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman in leadership position, because
okay.
she takes care of everything.
Yes.
Because she has to lead.
Yes.
But still, it doesn't put you in a position of control.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can lead.
Yes.
But you don't have to overshadow every situation with your control factor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, if no one has all knowledge.
Right.
Now, if I'm put in a leadership position and I have to control every little thing, I don't know every little thing.
Yes.
And I firmly believe, just like I said, whatever's going to be successful, we're going to get different people to come in and help us work a situation.
Yes.
Now, if we come in to work a situation and I don't allow you to use your expertise and I'm going to be the expert on everything, it's going to fail.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Because everything has to, you have to have a pilot on a plane.
Yes.
You have to have a co-pilot.
Yes.
You have to have the people serving in the back, the stewardess.
Yes.
You have to have someone up there that's telling you what's going to happen on the plane while you have someone demonstrating it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All of these people can't make a good flight.
They sure do.
But now if the man, if the pilot is piloting the plane,
mm-hmm.
and then they're trying to be the co-pilot,
mm-hmm.
then they got to come out and get on the thing and say, we're now traveling at this altitude, and the thing that's dropping from above, if he has to do that, then he has to throw that down and run out there and do the little demonstration. You click your seatbelt like this, and you pull firmly down. We're going to crash. We are going to crash. So this is how some of us as females do. We've taken our leadership role and we've made it a control factor.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to control what's going to be successful. It's already out there. It's been given to you. It's going to be successful. Now work it successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, be soft.
Mm-hmm.
Be alluring. You know, whatever it takes for you to be a female, be that.
Yes.
And watch what you touch grow. Watch it prosper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's what we have to learn as females.
Well, going out and to your studio and doing the show with you, it gives me a great opportunity to see how you operate. And I love to see your staff in operation. Your driver goes out and he picks your guests up at the airport and he gets them to the studio. And I know your other staff, they're working, they got things, food and everything in the green room,
mm-hmm.
and they get everything. It's like you don't have, I don't see you trying to do everything. I see you getting your information ready for the broadcast,
mm-hmm.
and I see all your people moving into positions and doing things. And so that lets me know you understand a one-on-one relationship,
mm-hmm.
and align people to do what they need to do. And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. You have to. If you're going to have someone work with you successfully,
yes.
give them that space. If you don't trust them to carry out the position, don't put them in that position.
Okay.
And those are things. When I do my show, everything is outlined. Everyone knows what time the show starts. Everyone knows what time I want the guest here. We've already established that.
Okay.
Now, give people a chance to work that.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do. But we have so many of our females that just, well, I don't have time to do this. Delegate.
Yeah, right.
Learn how to delegate.
Right.
But
you're
you
right.
can't delegate because you want to control everything.
Okay.
So you have to learn how to delegate, make every person in your entourage or on your staff, make them feel like they're somebody.
Now, you hit another good point or good word to look at. Do you think people that are overbearing, over-controlling, or are very controlled, do you think that that's a big hinder with them having successful relationships because they want to try to control everything?
Yes. And I'm not bashing females. Like I say, I'm a female.
Yes, ma'am.
And I can tell you this. When you it stops you from having a successful relationship. You know how I know? I'm still single. I've been married twice. But because I was such a control, everything had to be my way.
Yes.
There was no room for a man, because I could do what he did and do it better and all of these things that, you know, was all about me, I. And when you get to that point, you're going to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of you women, you can say, well, I've been in control all these years, but that man you got is not a man. He's not satisfying you, because if he was, you wouldn't be still in control.
Oh, you're right.
So, you know, we just have to be honest with ourselves. And
let people be themselves.
Let people be themselves. Like I said, if you don't trust that man to take care of you, get you another one. Leave him alone.
I agree. You
stop
gotta,
stripping him of his manhood.
Yes, you got to tell him how to hold his head. You got to, oh, you didn't put on the right shirt. And I think it's so degrading. But you are definitely right on that. And speaking of controlling, I got a question for you, because I've experienced a situation with a friend who would often call, and it was a man, and that friend would call me early in the morning. They called me in the middle of the day, and they would call me at night. And each time that individual called, it would be about him talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I make a comment or something. Oh, I knew all that. I know that stuff. I know that. And then he go back to talking about himself. Do you feel that that's a controlled individual, and do you feel that's an individual that only wants sensitive about their own needs, and they don't care?
Exactly. They really don't care. And you have to find a way.
Yes.
Don't pull away from that person until you make that person aware of what they who they are.
Yes.
Say, look, brother, I love you, but every time we talk, you're the center of attention.
Yes.
You never allow me to say anything. I can't say anything about the weather. Yeah, I know what the weather looks like, but right now I'm focusing on this.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to.
You're right, and there are a lot of people like that, aren't they? I hear what you're saying, but I don't want to hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I want to talk about me.
Yeah, you've got to tell them, sweetheart, you know, as powerful as you are, you're not that great.
Why is it that some people feel that they're the only one who's important?
And actually, people like that, actually, it's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel important.
Okay.
That's why they have to do that. And somehow you need to, as you talk to them every day, say, brother, you got it going on.
Yes.
So stop forcing it down everybody's throat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're a powerful person by yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, give other people a chance. Because I promise you, if you love him, you'll tell him. And however he reacts to you, whether he punches you in the eye, just live with it. But as long as you told him.
But they must have the truth.
Yeah, you
got
to tell people the truth. As long as you hack around the bush, people don't change.
Yeah, you're right. And they end up falling because other people are going to come and tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really consider that person as a friend, you're going to tell them the truth. I agree with
And the reason I said if he hits you in the eye, look over it. You have shoulders at me. Because if he comes out off with another person like that, and he gets mad and fly off that other person going to fly off back, and then after a while it's going to be a big mess, and nobody's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But we're sometimes put in the way of a person to help them. Because whatever their negative reaction is going to be, we're equipped to handle a negative reaction without becoming negative as well.
Good. And I see you have another quote you wanted to share with us, Dr. Murdoch.
It says, a fool
is
anyone who refuses to embrace peace.
Okay.
You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that tells us, and I know you guys may wonder why I use scripture all the time, but I have to because I do a show that's called Let's Talk Truth.
Yes.
You can't tell the truth except it lines up with the Word of God. So not that, you know, we're not on Mr. Motivator's show to preach to you, but I have to align it up with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scripture tells us to follow peace with all men.
Yes.
All men,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, doesn't matter the situation. We're equipped as God's children to bring peace into a situation.
Yes.
Now, when you find a fool who just refused to embrace that peace,
yes.
No, I'm not going to let that happen. Oh, no. You say, what? Just chill. Tomorrow it'll look different. No, I'm going to kill him today. You know, that's
what
he
do. What do you do?
Yeah, it's just, you have to keep reiterating to people. You have to keep talking to people. Keep walking in front of people in order for change to come about. You know, the scripture tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven.
Yes.
See, we have the capacity, we have the skills to bring peace. God put it in us. We have that ability. We have the power to do it. But we have to be willing to be used to do it.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of people use this season thing. They don't want to be willing. They don't want to be used.
I got you. They don't want to be responsible for being a real friend.
Yes.
Or to return
the
encouragement that you've given back to them. They just want to move away and everything. I like the analogy that you used earlier, and when Louise was smiling, you made the comment about people in the aircraft and how the pilot was trying to do everything, and then you guys are crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it brings me back to when I was working on the job. I had this supervisor, and he just wanted to tell me something, I guess, to make me laugh or just try to get me to seeing things his way, but.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he said, Dwight, there was a flight instructor who had a friend who wanted to learn how to skydive. And the gentleman was up in age. I think he was in his 90s. And he told his friend that was a flight instructor, he said, hey, you got to get me to one of your friends because I want to skydive. I want to find out what it feels like to jump out of a plane in a parachute before I leave this life. So, and the gentleman in his 90s had a little bit of a speech impediment problem. So anyway, Lois, they got up in the plane, and the instructor told the older gentleman, he said, hey, all you got to do is count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and pull the ripcord the minute you jump out. And the man said, okay. So the instructor said, when I jump out, you jump out behind me, and we both will count to 10, and we're ready to land on the ground. So the instructor jumped out of the plane, and he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He pulled the ripcord. And just as he was about to land on the ground, he looked around. He was looking. Just as he was about to land on the ground, he looked around. He was looking for the older gentleman. And about that time, the older gentleman passed right by him. Fire! And basically my supervisor told me, what's the moral of this story? You got to communicate. If you get stuck on something, just react.
Well, oh my goodness. Well, one thing that he did do, he experienced. His wish came true. He experienced what it felt like to jump out of the plane.
Yes.
He just
didn't quite make it
to, you know, think about it or tell it to anybody.
Yeah.
And somebody should say, if you have a speech impediment, you got to look at it.
Well, look, Lois, I want to thank you for coming on to the broadcast. And thank you also, Louise. And folks, remember, success is yours. Dare to dream and keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. Folks, we look forward to you tuning in to our next broadcast. We want you to just enjoy your week. Have a good time. Think about what we said on relationships today. Pick and choose your friends carefully. And if you have some good friends, treat them like friends. Don't cut them loose. Don't just dog them out and disappear and think that you'll never need them or you'll never have to think about the fact that you had an effect on that person's life. Have a great weekend. We love you. Tune in with us again next week for another exciting show, the Mr. Motivator Show. God bless you.